I'm very happy now to welcome Fran Martone. She's the director of the play Two Sisters and a Piano that opens on the 13th of September and runs for a couple of weeks at Teatro Paraguas. And Silvia Obledo and Rick Vargas, who are actors in this play, welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Thanks for having me.
So this is a play by Nilo Cruz. It takes place in Cuba in 1991. It's the end of the Soviet Union. It's the beginning of the so-called special period. And two sisters, including one played by you, Sylvie, Maria Celia, are under house arrest.
Well, it is about two sisters who had been imprisoned for 2 years. They've been released, but they're still under house arrest, and they're very closely monitored. All of their thoughts and actions are checked off, in part by the lieutenant, who's played by Rick here. And the play is about how people struggle to connect with life and with one another under this very authoritarian regime.
The two sisters are artists. The younger sister, who's unmarried, is a pianist, and your character is a writer. And they are very close, but being under house arrest like that puts a strain on any relationship.
Yes. But we are very close, and being in this space, which is actually much larger than where we were previously in prison, gives us a sense of a little bit of freedom, and we explore different ways of being throughout the days, and the interaction with the lieutenant who comes in with the militia. It's something that we go through our individual journeys as well as become one, the two of us.
Now, the whole question of being essentially arrested for being a writer, the writer is inspired by perestroika, is inspired by the breaking up of the Soviet Union, writes something about this and is imprisoned for it, and it's a kind of painful tale of how political repression in the satellites of the Soviet Union continues even after the Soviet Union is gone.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes. What is so interesting to me about Maria Celia's journey is that she has written throughout the course of her career about love. And she's taken that, and she is explaining her stories, but also explaining the stories about freedom. And she's actually, in my opinion, been very careful about how she's written, and she thinks that she's done it within a very safe way, which, in fact, it turns out has not been for her.
Well, and that's it actually, as I was reading the play, I haven't seen the rehearsal yet, but it brings up interesting questions about art and the unconscious, because somebody who's writing a love story in a state of repression is probably writing a story about being in a state of repression, whether they know it or not.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I think the other thing about the artists is that Castro decided to sort of give artists freedom in his own way. He came up with this phrase that within the revolution, everything, outside the revolution, nothing. But as I've been doing the research, that is very gray. Who decides what's in, what's out? And it changed over the years. And so, as always, being an artist is fraught with danger.
Now, you, Rick, play Lieutenant Portuondo, and that's a character who is in a power relationship with Celia, with Maria Celia,
yes.
And it becomes kind of complicated because of the different kinds of power that are going on.
Yes. Initially, you know, before I talk about my character, Nilo Cruz is probably the playwright that I've seen most on stage in Chicago, where I'm from, doing theater. Hortensia, Anna in the Tropics, Two Sisters, and Boleros. And I thought, gee, it's maybe with Teatro Paraguas, it's time to do something that, you know, I really wanted to do, and maybe, you know, give Argos the opportunity to read some of these plays. And I thought, wow, this is the perfect opportunity.
Oh, so you chose the play?
Yeah, I gave him three or four to read, a couple to Fran to read, and some of them were just not logistically, you know, sound to be able to do that in the space that we had. And we just came off a beautiful play, Butterflies that we just finished in March, and it was about the oppression of women in a Latin American country.
In the Dominican Republic.
Dominican Republic.
And I was, I have to say,
another
as I was
island.
Reading this one, I was getting deja vu.
some of the scenes in my role as Lieutenant Portuando, it's deja vu with Trujillo that I did. So, although he's more, Portuando's a little more stylized, and he's a little bit more tactful in the way he goes about getting what he wants. He's not as brutish as Trujillo was. But anyway, so I thought this would be a great opportunity to, you know, cast some. And I was telling these ladies, I mean, you got the last two plays we were doing, we had some tremendous female Latina roles here. I mean, you guys have just got to sink your teeth and your soul into this play because, you know, don't take it for granted. You have the, you know, the role of a lifetime here, especially the play we did last time, too. And the opportunity to act with, you know, Sylvia on stage and Roxanne I've done, I think, two or three times already with readings. And I was, this story needed to be, you know, told, and it still goes on today, you know, this type of theme, you know, with the power struggle. And the what came into question in my mind was what was the true revolution in Two Sisters and a Piano? Who's the revolutionary? What's the revolution? That was in the question when I was reading it again and again. And those lines are crossed. It's mirrored. You know, it's blurred. It's
revolutions within revolutions.
And she says that. Maria yes. Celia says that in one of her lines, one of her dialogue, and it's true. You know, him being the oppressor, but creates this relationship with her and this male-female relationship, and he wants her in all those ways, and it becomes in question whether, you know, what is he trying to do? Is he trying to oppress her with that mindset, with sexuality, with you know, holding her letters for ransom?
Yeah. Meanwhile, she's got this husband who has escaped from Cuba,
yes,
and is writing her these love letters, and this lieutenant, evil lieutenant, yes, or semi-evil lieutenant,
yeah,
played by
sure.
you, is
sure.
essentially holding them
yeah.
over her head and saying,
yeah,
I have these, I've read them, you can't read them, or I'll read you pieces
yeah.
of them. Mm-hmm. And it's a kind of cruelty,
yes,
but it's also kind of, I feel like it's a kind of longing on his part to know love and
yes.
to know what it is to have a soul.
Yes, and to know what it's like to be artistic.
Yeah.
And to live under that umbrella of being able to, you know, feel on an everyday basis, create, write, listen to a piano, close your eyes and have something formulate in your imagination when you're listening to a poem, you know, mm-hmm. her writing. And he's never had that, and he talks about that. You know, I come from a place where it's, you know, palm leaves are my window, you know, and dirt floor and no running water. And she opens something up in him. And I never wanted to play Lieutenant Portuando as having an agenda for the whole, you know, for the scenes or the, but he definitely has something that he's, there's a super task there that is strong in him, and what he got out of her and gets out of her, he eventually destroys. The same thing that he uses to go after what he wants, it becomes... it gets ugly, and it's a tragedy. So,
without giving the whole play
yeah.
away,
right? Yeah, yeah.
No, it's
a
happy
comedy.
Ending. Oh no,
I didn't think they would think it was a comedy. So, I'm safe there.
Now, this play is based on, at least in part, the actual life of Maria Elena Cruz Varela. Who was she?
She was a Cuban writer who was under house arrest and actually was treated very brutally by the regime. They dragged her out into the street and they actually fed her book. She had to eat the papers.
She literally had to eat papers that she'd written.
Yes, which is referred to in some ways in this play as well.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's always the task of the artist, the actor, to not really recreate, but use his active imagination to make it organic and original of what's happening and why he wrote this. And I think that's always the challenge for the actor, to make it, you know, new every night and appalling every night.
Right.
Yeah. But no. But there's a lot of beauty in this play. Mm-hmm. The language is very beautiful.
Yes.
And yeah. The relationships mm-hmm. are very nuanced. Mm-hmm. So even though it yeah. is a tragedy, it's not like you just come in and it's right. like blah the whole right. time.
It's not the last scene of Hamlet.
No.
Where everybody. yeah.
There's a lot of nuance. There's yes. so many complicated layers to these yeah. characters.
Yes.
We're talking about the play Two Sisters and a Piano by Nilo Cruz, which is opening on the 13th of September at Teatro Paraguas. Now, let's talk for a moment about Nilo Cruz. He is a Cuban-American, born in Cuba, raised mostly in the United States.
In Florida.
And so, I mean, there's also this sense, as I was reading it, it's like, you know, as a Cuban-American raised in Florida or in Miami, whatever, you know Cuba and you don't.
Well, I think that's true. And I think clearly he has an agenda. He doesn't seem like he's really pro-Castro regime at all.
No, I don't think so.
Not at all. And yet he makes it, it's not really just a diatribe because it is so nuanced and complicated. Because we have the artist, the intellectual, who is so incredibly wrong about what perestroika is going to bring to Cuba, you know? So he's layering and layering. And as I think you said earlier, this is a universal theme, a universal play, what happens when we're under repression. I mean, I have to say, I've been nervous because I've been Googling Castro and Green Army uniforms and all these other things on the internet for this play, and then I'm like, okay, who's intercepting this?
Yeah, you look up in the air and you see the NSA.
Yes.
So, I mean, although our situation's quite different, it's not completely foreign to what we experience. So.
Yeah, most of us, through U.S. history classes and all, we kind of get an idea of what's been happening in Cuba for the last 50, 60 some odd years. We have an idea. We don't really know the intricacies of, how they live in their culture. We see it through sports. We see it through how they don't allow their athletes to become professionals and how they oppress them, even the Olympic level. And what really struck me with this play, too, is what was the revolution, Maria Celia was an anti-revolutionary, but Lieutenant Portuondo was oppressive. So where's the revolution? That's always in the question when I go back and we do the scenes. And because at one point Castro was a revolutionary, and then to revolutionize against him, now it's,
revolutions within
right.
revolutions.
You
but
go.
You look at what's going on in Egypt. You look what happened after the French Revolution. Things never just follow this straight
right.
line
right.
to utopia,
no.
for sure.
No.
Well, you look at the American Revolution.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And you look at the kind of central power military bureaucracy mm-hmm. we have now, which
yeah.
we think our founding fathers might not have really
right.
totally approved yeah. of.
Right. Right.
Or even our president from the 1950s.
Yeah. That's another play.
No, but I think the beauty of this play is that it makes you contemplate all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Yes.
Definitely.
Yes.
So, what have been your challenges, Sylvie, in playing Maria Celia?
Maria Celia, for me, is the most incredible layered woman I've ever played. And that, for me, has been such a rich experience. For me, I always, of course, think about my substitutions when I'm developing the character. And
your substitutions?
Yes, in terms of who I'm thinking, who I'm speaking with, who they are, and so, ironically, and I don't even think I've shared this with Fran and Rick, my father was, in a sense, a little bit of a revolutionary, and so I've been able to pull on, his views and what he did in terms of fighting for people's rights and freedoms. And I did meet Castro in the mid-90s, and it was such an incredible experience because what I experienced was a very charismatic man. And, of course, now to be researching and exploring on this level has been such an eye-opener for me.
How'd you meet Castro?
He was in New York at the time, and my father was doing some work trying to get businesses to go to Cuba at that time.
very interesting. And so you just...
Like in the 50s, yeah.
Did you get to actually, I mean, have any kind of conversation?
A very small conversation, and it was, of course, guarded, and there were people standing there, and they, you know, were very, very careful about what he answered and what he did not.
Fran Martone, what have been your challenges in directing this play?
I think just really teasing out all of the layers and finding specifically what's going on in each general moment. It'd be very easy to just paint this with like broad brush strokes, like this is anti-authoritarian or whatever. But as I said, I think this is more a play about humanity and the relationships, and they change. They're not static throughout the play, which I think makes it a good play. So trying to work with the actors to find the truth in themselves and to be really specific about what they're doing from moment to moment. And I'm blessed with this fabulous cast, so, and a great production team as well. We're very, very lucky.
And there's also not joining us today are the piano tuner and the younger sister.
Exactly.
Who
exactly.
Also have very important roles.
Yeah.
Do you, Rick, see your character, Lieutenant Portuondo, as a bad guy? How do you see him? I mean, I guess you can't. If you think he's all bad, you couldn't really fully play him.
Yeah, number one rule, maybe acting 101, second day, they tell you, never judge your character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, add layers to him. And I guess the more you kind of talk about him, the less you can play him. It's always a physicality. It comes from an emotional place. And you want to stay out of your psyche and, you know, move with the lines and move and take in and your counterpart, your actor in the scene. He's got something that he lacks in his life, and he sees it an opportunity to fill it with these sisters, with this house. And like everybody in life, sometimes we just don't necessarily know how to go about it, and it always becomes, usually becomes, a place of power and aggressiveness and lack rather than love and compassion. If he knew that in the beginning of the play, we wouldn't have a play then. So that's how he goes after what he wants. You know, he needs something to fill his void.
I think he's the most vulnerable character in the play. I really do.
And as strong as he stands up tall and you know, his head up and, you know, his movement is swift and precise, he's empty inside and he needs something to fill the... There's a saying in a... there's a line in the movie Arthur I love, and he says, not everyone drinks because they're poets. Some of us drink because we're not poets. and that's kind of how I see the lieutenant, you know, and the way he goes about exercising his power and how he tries to devour people and things in order to fill that void.
And it's a tragedy that you can find everywhere, every day,
yes.
That somebody who is empty inside
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
has power over somebody who is so rich and beautiful and soulful and
mm-hmm.
artistic and creative and all these things,
yes.
like your character, Sylvie. Well, the play, lest we give away the entire thing sitting here at the baking company.
Come see it.
You can do a scene if you'd like.
The play is called Two Sisters and a Piano, and it opens this September 13th, which is a Friday. It's Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30 and Sundays at 2 through the 29th of September. It's performed in English, and Sundays are Pay What You Wish. For more information and reservations, you can call 424-1601, and you can go to teatroparaguas.org. Fran Martone, director, Sylvie Obledo, and Rick Vargas, actors, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio
thank
Cafe.
You.
Oh,
thank
it was
you.
Our pleasure. Thanks.